Bible says, children, be obedient to your parents. You don't always get that, but sometimes when they are, you mess it up. He wanted to sing a different song, and I asked him to sing that, but that's all right. He hadn't played that since his voice changed. Amen. So I'm very thankful for that. But been a sweet spirit here tonight. That second verse in that song says, I believe, at least for me, I'm going to see my mom and dad. Oh, it thrills my soul to know that when I leave this world, I got a son, I got sons, and one day I'm going to have a daughter coming with me. Thank God for heaven.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved tonight.
Yep.
I've been thinking since Pastor stepped up here and said something about getting right, confessing some things. I got to confess something to Brother Mark. We were in a service, been a while back at his church. We were in revival. I don't even know what was happening. But we were going through one of those things that I told you that when you go through it, it's worse than what anything you've ever been through. We began to sing that old song, tempted and tried, oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, Brother Mark. And I ripped that song out of your songbook and shoved that thing in my Bible, and I've carried it with me ever since. Because I'm glad I know when I leave this world, I'm going to a place where I'm going to understand. I've learned, though, since that time, Brother Philip, I don't even really care if I understand why I went through what I went through on this side. I just know that one day, listen to me now, one day I'm going to leave this world and I'm going to enter into the presence of a Savior that died for my sins and saved me. I don't care what I go. Paul said, I reckon. He must have been a redneck. He said, I reckon that this light affliction, but for a moment, I'm glad I'm going to heaven tonight. Do you know you're going to heaven tonight? Go to Jeremiah chapter number 17 with me. I got to start my timer now. That don't count. That's for free. Jeremiah 17, when you get there, let's stand. Amen. He said 3 hours. I thought we were going for four. Amen. Jeremiah 17. Look at verse number 5 with me. This is the weeping prophet. Verse 5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord is. And for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Look what Jeremiah says. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his own ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. I want to ask you a question tonight, probably the most important question I've asked yet. It's a very personal question. It's a very sincere question. I want to know how your heart's doing tonight. How is your heart tonight? I want to try to preach on that tonight. Help me pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you. God, as we come to the preaching hour, Lord, I pray that you just give us liberty, power, and unction to say everything you'd have us to say. And God, to say nothing, God, that does not need to be said. God, it's been a sweet spirit tonight. God, we felt you from the moment we walked through this door. God, and I thank you for that. God, I thank you that it's real tonight. God, I have no reason to believe that any of this is being conjured up and being man-made, and I thank you for it. God, I pray, Lord, humbly, if there are hearts tonight that are not right with you, God, that they would be right before we walk out of here tonight. God, if there is one that is struggling with something, God, I pray that you would meet them where they're at, God, and fix it in a way that only you can. God, I pray for that heart that has departed and, God, backslidden, God. Lord, I pray you'd grab hold of it, love on them, and, God, they'd confess and get right tonight. Lord, and if there's a heart tonight that has never met the Savior, God, I pray, Lord, tonight would be the night that they'd call upon your name, and, Lord, you'd, as the book of Acts says, turn their world upside down. God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. You may be seated. How healthy is your heart tonight is the question I want to ask you. I began doing some research about the heart, and my wife, you can ask her afterwards, when she goes to the doctor, Brother John, she knows all the answers before she gets there. She has Googled them all. She knows what's wrong with her. She knows what she needs to do to fix it, and she is simply there to tell the doctor that this is the prescription you need to give me because this is the diagnosis I have because I done figured it out. But I began to act like her today and do some research of my own, and I found that Cleveland Clinic says that the heart is the most vital, life-sustaining organ in the body. I found that our heart beats roughly 100,000 times every single day. I found that every 24 hours, your heart will pump 2,000 gallons of blood through your body. I found that the heart that can do all that is only the size of a man's fist. One article I read said that the heart has its own electrical system, and even after being separated from the body, it can continue to function. The heart is a muscle that is so strong that it is capable of shooting blood up to 30 feet in distance. But I found this the most interesting thing of all. It said that there are no two hearts in the world that beat alike. Every single heart has its own individual beating pattern. And I find it interesting tonight that God knows every single one of those hearts tonight. By way of introduction, can we examine what Scripture says about our heart tonight? First of all, I want you to understand that the heart is a complicated matter. Complicated member. The heart is mentioned in the Scriptures over 870 times, and throughout all those mentionings we find that the heart is a fragile thing. You remember when Israel was on the bank of the Jordan River that they sent out some spies to go across the river and into the promised land and to gain report of what the promised land had to hold. And the Bible says these words that when those other spies, not Caleb and Joshua, but the other ones whose names are listed in the Bible. What a terrible thing to be remembered for. But the Bible says this in Joshua 14. When Caleb speaks, he says these words. They brought back a report that made the heart of the people melt tonight. The heart is a fragile thing. The heart is a fickle thing. When Stephen preached in the book of Acts in chapter number 7, he said that just as quickly as that wonderful nation of Israel came up out of Egypt, that their hearts turned back again into Egypt.
Imagine they came. I cannot fathom this. One of the greatest miracles recorded in Scripture. They come across the Red Sea on dry ground, and they conquer the greatest enemy at that time, the greatest army that the world has ever seen. And they go across on dry ground, and they are led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And every single morning they woke up, there was more food than they had to eat, and they had water abundantly. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never got tattered. And the Bible says that their hearts turned back to Egypt. They said, I'd rather be in bondage where we had steak and potatoes. It's a fickle thing. It's a fragile thing. It's a fierce thing. When Israel would set their hearts toward God, marvelous things would happen. Revival would take place in the nation of Israel every time their hearts would turn back to God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. It's a fierce thing, what the heart can do. It's a complicated member. But ultimately, you need to understand tonight, the heart will fail you. The heart will fail you tonight. I found that heart disease and heart failure is one of the leading causes of death in America today. The heart will fail you. It's a complicated member. Number two, it's a contaminated muscle. The very first mention of the heart in Scripture sets the tone for what that member will be for the rest of the Scripture. This is what your Bible says. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In our text here, I want to draw your attention to what Jeremiah the prophet says about yours and mine heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. He's saying everything. All things. All means all. Amen. Greek, Hebrew, Chinese, English. All means all. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's deceitful tonight. It simply cannot be trusted. Never tell somebody, listen to me, parents, tonight. I know we got some in here. Don't ever do your child the injustice of telling them to follow their heart tonight. You'll lead them to destruction. The heart is deceitful. It cannot be trusted. The heart is desperately wicked. You've heard this saying, the heart wants what it wants, and the heart never wants the things of God. And it will do whatever it has to get it. Isaiah says this about the heart of Lucifer. It was in his heart that he said these words, I will be like the Most High. I find it interesting what that means, Brother Randy, is this, that even the angels, the most powerful of all angels, if you will, God knows the secrets of his heart. It's desperately wicked, it's deceitful, it's dangerous. Your Bible says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not trust in your heart tonight. The heart is a dangerous thing. Ask Adam and Eve. It was not, listen to me very carefully, it was not the mind that failed Adam and Eve. They knew what was right and what was wrong. They knew not to eat the fruit. Remember what she said, Brother Ike? She said, can't eat it, can't touch it. She knew. It was not her eyes that failed her, even though it was pleasing to her eyes. It was her heart that failed her in the garden. It's a complicated member. It's a contaminated muscle. Number three, I want you to notice the condition of mankind. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. One man, through the failing of his heart, plunged this entire world into a sinful abyss. Every single person since the day of Adam has been born a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because one man's heart failed him. You see, there's a preacher one time said it like this. He said, at the heart of the matter, it's a matter of the heart. In the Scripture, there's a caution to men. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, gave at least 10 declarations of caution. He tells his son, keep thy heart with all diligence. He said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He said, a proud heart is an abomination to the Lord. He said, a deceitful heart will lead to hatred. He said, let not thine heart envy sinners. He said, a froward heart deviseth mischief continually. He said, a hardened heart leads to trouble. He said, to set a watch over your heart tonight. He said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, do not have a hasty heart. And ultimately, if you were to study Solomon's life, he is the greatest example of what happens when you turn your heart from God. Right. The wisest man that ever lived, the most wealthy man that ever lived, he had everything given to him. His father was King David. He took the throne at the peak and the highest point in the history of the nation of Israel's in their entire existence. He took the throne at the greatest time, and the son of David, the son of that king, turned his heart from God and went after the things of the world. The psalmists write, encourage your heart. They write, strengthen your heart. They write, follow the Lord with it. One psalmist said, pour your heart out to him. Psalm 119 says, hide his word in it tonight. You see, the heart is a dangerous thing. It's a contaminated muscle. It's a delicate situation. But I'm here to report to you tonight that there's only one corrective measure when it comes to the heart. I want you to notice what he said in verse number 10. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It kills me how many people will say these words. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Yes, he does. And he knows the deepest, darkest secrets of it. And he knows what you're thinking, even though the pastor might know and your spouse might not know and mama and daddy might not know. But nothing can be hidden from God. All things done in the dark will come to light. I'm here to ask you tonight, after 10, 11 days of meeting, Sunday morning, Sunday night homecoming, a week of revival, a second week of revival, this ought to be easy preaching tonight. How is your heart tonight? How healthy is it? There's only one corrective measure. God simply does not just deal with man, he deals with the heart. When he chose David, that little ruddy boy from among his brethren, this is what the word says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The heart of the church tonight desperately needs Holy Ghost conviction. The heart. I cannot bring conviction tonight. If you do something because this preacher tells you to do it, it'll never work. I have people all the time say, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, I want people to do certain things, but I don't want them to do it because Pastor Preston wants them to do it. I want them to do it because the Holy Ghost convicted their hearts about it. The church needs brokenhearted confession. You mentioned one of the best meetings I've ever been in, and it happened to be a tent meeting, and I don't put a tent up in November, but we were in service one night. There was a young woman who had a child and one on the way, and she'd messed her life up a little bit. And we didn't, you know, when someone takes the floor, sometimes it gets real bad or sometimes it gets real good, and you just start praying. Well, this is one of them nights it got real good. She got up in front of that entire tent. There's about 1,000 people under that tent, Brother Philip. Middle of June, hot, sweaty, and tired. And she began to confess things, poured her heart out. And that whole tent gathered around her and began to pray. And I'm telling you, 9 o'clock went, 10 o'clock came. We stayed all night long. I've never been in a service like that. Brokenhearted confession. It ain't sacrifices and offerings tonight God's looking for. It's broken heart and contrition tonight. Real consecration. Have you been coming all week just to see who's singing and to hear what I'm going to shout about for a little bit? Or are you coming just because you want to make sure that Pastor Kim sees your face out in the crowd? Are you coming tonight because you purposed in your heart that you believe that God's going to show up on a Tuesday night at Liberty Baptist Church here at Yates Crossing? Did you come tonight seeking something different? We're here 10 days into this thing. I'm not looking for the same old thing. I know there's nothing new under the sun, but I sure am looking for God to move. I'm reminded of what John said. He said, the wind bloweth where it bloweth where it listeth. What that means is you can't control it, but every once in a while when he blows by your way, like the Apostle Paul said, sometimes you just got to let the mask down and just let her drive and just let God do some work and just hold on while you can and see what God's going to do. But if your heart's not right, it'll never work. What the church needs tonight is Holy Ghost conviction. It needs brokenhearted confession. It needs some real consecration.
And if you're lost tonight, what your heart needs is spiritual circumcision. What you need to do is let the Holy Ghost of God cut that heart away from your flesh and change you tonight. Walk out of here completely different. I believe in having a church that's come as you are, amen. They ask me all the time, do you got a dress code up there at the Evergreen Hills? I say, absolutely, you got to wear something. I'm glad he's a come as you are type of God. But I sure am glad tonight he is not a leave as you came type of God. You can come as you are and walk out of here. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature tonight. You can walk out of here different than you came in. But you got to want to tonight. You got to want it. Let me ask you this question. How is your heart tonight? How is your heart? Is your heart hard tonight? You see, look what he says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins and even give every man according to his own way and according to the fruits of his doing. How's your heart tonight? Lord knows how your heart is, but I'm asking you, do you know? My grandpa, he was a World War II veteran. He was a CB. We talked about that the other night. 5'5", the toughest man I ever met. And he'd go to the doctor, Brother Ike, and he'd sit there and the doctor would say, well, tell me what's wrong. And he'd say, well, you're the doctor, you tell me. Why do we walk in here to look at God like that? God knows what's wrong. Do you know what's wrong tonight? Is your heart hard tonight? Because if it is, let me tell you what the Bible says. God spoke to Ezekiel the prophet and said, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Did you walk in here tonight with a hard heart from the things of the world? Maybe even from the church? Listen, church hurt is not a real thing tonight. You never got hurt by God. You got hurt by somebody in the church. God never did you wrong tonight. But there are things that will hurt you and make your heart hard tonight. And if your heart is hard, why don't you come to God and say, God, give me a new one. Give me a fleshly heart. If you have a hard heart, God will gladly soften it for you if you'll let the Lord do work on you tonight. Let him do it right now. We've come this far in the meeting, and I can imagine in a crowd this size, everybody in here is completely right with God. Can't imagine it. If you'd be honest with us, you've either been there, or you're going to be there, or you might be there right now with a hard heart, sitting in a revival meeting like this tonight. Is your heart hard? Is your heart hurting tonight? Because if your heart is hurting, the Bible says this in Psalm 147, that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. God can heal a broken heart. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. When I was looking at this earlier, this is one of the things I found. I found that one of the most painful things that a body can endure is a broken heart. Broken heart, there is no medicine for that tonight. There is nothing the doctor can prescribe that will take away the pain from a broken heart. There is no way to place a bandage on a broken heart. Maybe it was a lost loved one. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was losing a child. Whatever it may be, I cannot fix it. Your pastor cannot fix it. But I am here tonight to tell you that there is a God up in heaven that can heal up that broken heart and bind up your wounds. The psalmist said, I'll look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Is your heart hurting tonight? Is your heart hard tonight? We started digging last night. Can we dig a little bit deeper? Is your heart full of hate tonight? Is your heart full of hate? You bitter with somebody tonight? Forgiveness is a biblical doctrine tonight. Jesus Christ forgave you. Is your heart full of hate? We've shouted all week. Can we be real tonight? David, man after God's own heart, cried these words, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Listen, I didn't believe in bitterness, and I didn't believe in depression. I didn't believe in none of that stuff till it happened to me.
Old David was depressed. Go read about what happened to him in the cave of Adullam. He feigned himself mad. He went clear off the rocker, amen. If it can happen to David, it can happen to me and you. I remember my wife has dealt with these things. I'm just going to be real with you tonight. My wife has dealt with some things. Mental things are real tonight. Many, many times I'd look at her, brother, and say, you're just not right with God. You get right with God. I'm just being real tonight. If you get right with God, all that would go away. Till I found myself sitting on the couch thinking, what in the world am I doing? Why do I think like this? Why do I feel like this? You say, can a saved person have a heart full of hate? Absolutely tonight.
Yeah.
I've been there. Let a mama walk out on you. Let a daddy walk out on you. I turned 17 years old and my daddy looked at me and said, son, I got a job in North Carolina. I'll see you around. Hope you do all right. And walked out of my life and I didn't see him for years. I had a heart full of hate. My mother died when I was 16 years old and became bitter over it. Told pastor I was lost. Amen. As a senior in high school, I had nowhere to live. My wife's family took me in. I slept on her couch my senior year. Her mom came to me in a time when I needed a mom. Only for a few years later, or a few years ago, for her to walk out on us. Put my family in a compromising position, Brother Philip, and we had to make the decision. I'm just trying to help you tonight. It was either protect my family or put them in a place of danger. And my heart became full of hate. Why would you do it to me? David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Why are you walking around tonight with a heart full of hate when there's a God up in heaven full of love tonight? Is your heart hard? Is your heart hurting? Is your heart full of hate? Is your heart tonight heavy? Did you come in here with a burden tonight? We've met back there every single night at 6:45. If you haven't been, I encourage you to do it tomorrow night. We're going to meet back there at 6:45 and we're going to pray. 10-12 of us, as we go around the room, every single person, it seems like, pray for this person. They're lost. We've been praying for Sister Amy all week because it's been a very serious situation. I've heard names that I cannot place a face to. I've heard prayer requests of serious and dire situations I may not know nothing about. Did you walk in with a heavy heart tonight? Your Bible says, trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Listen, you can pour your heart out to me all night long, and maybe I can cry, and maybe I'll give you a hug, and maybe I'll try to understand, Brother Randy, but I cannot understand it all. But I'm glad tonight that the Bible says this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings or infirmities, but was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I might not understand it all. Pastor might not understand it all, but we have a great high priest who understands it all. And if you'll bring that heavy heart to Him, He'll share that load with you tonight. How's your heart tonight? Is it heavy? I'm sure in a crowd like this, there's some burdens. Seems like the further this world goes on, I believe, as Brother Charlie was we talking before church, he said it's getting worse and worse. And I'm here to remind you, it gets a lot worse before it gets better tonight. It's going to get a lot worse. In a crowd this size, I can't imagine that there's not some hearts burdened down tonight. But I am here to tell you that the Lord's still inviting some heavy hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I preached a message one time on man with a hand with a fire looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And I'm from the country, and there's a difference being a farm boy and a country boy, amen. I'm not meant to work on a farm. I can't handle that type of work. Growing up as a young boy, I remember Brother Philip, my grandpa, trying to make me get out there, and he didn't do round bales, he did square bales, amen. And that's straight out of the devil, amen. And as I was studying for that message, I called my grandpa and asked him what it was like working a mule, because I've heard stories about him working a mule. And then when we were down in North Carolina, Pastor Mark said something about it, and it reminded me. But I remember complaining about how hard it was. I'd worked for like 10 minutes. I'd have been 10, 11, 12 at the time. But I remember I called my grandpa, and I was asking him some questions about what it meant. And he was talking about G and Haw and how they learned the commands to listen and the reins that were on them. But he said, you get multiple mules together, and you put that yoke and bridle on them, and they can do a whole lot more than what one of them can. Is your heart burdened down tonight? But here's the moral of that story. This is what got me excited. We're talking about the sounds that these things make. And he said, I can still remember the snort that a mule would make when you'd unhook that latchet off of them. And they knew it was quitting time. And they knew they were going back to the barn. And that burden was being lifted. And that yoke that was on them was coming off. Is your heart heavy tonight? Is your heart hopeless tonight? For if our heart condemn us, this is what John said, if our heart condemn us, greater, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. On my worst days, he's still God tonight. One man said this, and I've quoted it many times, it might not do you no good, but it sure makes me want to run a lap. He said this, he said, on the worst day for a child of God, the worst day a Christian can ever experience is better than the best day as a child of hell tonight. Yeah. If God saved you and I and never did another thing for us, he did far more than we deserve tonight. But I wonder how many walked in here tonight with a hopeless heart. I was hopeless that night when I walked into Chestnut Grove Missionary Baptist Church. And they began to sing, tempted and tried we're, oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. And I'm telling you, when that congregation began to sing, farther along we'll know all about it. I ripped that puppy out of that songbook, and God gave me some hope that night. And I'm here to tell you, if you walked in here with a hopeless heart, there's a God that is the God of all hope tonight, and he'd love to put some hope deep down in your heart tonight. Jeremiah said this. Listen, you understand, Jeremiah was depressive. He was suicidal. He quit on God. And this is what he said in the book of Lamentations. He said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him tonight. Is your heart hopeless tonight? I imagine there's somebody in here tonight. Maybe your heart's homesick. Maybe you're longing to leave this world tonight. Are you homesick? But it is, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. No one ever reads the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I believe old Squire Parsons had it right when he said this. He said, I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. My grandma growing up was the only Christian I ever was around. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I never went to church. The only reason I went to church, I was trying to get a girlfriend. And they had grape juice and crackers every single Sunday. Didn't know anything about it. But in 2020, COVID shut everything down. We were locked out of our churches and whatnot. My grandma took sick, and we knew it was the end. They done called us in. It was the grace of God that I got to spend every single minute with her up until the end. One of my greatest memories, Isaac was only about 10, 11 years old, and Willie was just a little pup, and Penny was 3-4 pounds at the time. We stood in that little back room, my grandparents' farmhouse, and we sang "I'll Fly Away" to her. She grabbed my hand and pulled me in close. She said, "Son," she said, "I'm sorry I never got to go hear you preach in person." She got sick right as I surrendered to preach. I'd only been preaching for about a year or so. She began to throw them hands up. And she said, "I've been praying for 70 years that God would give me a preacher boy." She said, "I'm so glad he did." I sat and held her hand and loved on her. She was ornery. She'd be sitting there like this, Brother John. She was sitting up in her recliner. She always kept her feet like that. 4 o'clock in the morning or so, she'd wake up. "I'm still here." I'd say, "I don't want to lose you, Grandma." She said, "My daddy's on the other side." She said, "My mom is on the other side. My brother's on the other side. Are you homesick tonight?" I imagine that's how John felt when he came back from heaven. Amen. What a tease. To see all the glory of heaven. And God say, "Hang on, I still got to send you back down. I'll bring you back later." He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. And I, John," I love that part. He wants you to know who's talking right here. "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" I can imagine Brother Robinson as Paul or John came back to this world. No wonder he ended it all with, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." He was homesick for a place tonight. Is your heart homesick? Surely after 10 nights of meeting, Sunday morning, Sunday night, there's somebody in here with a heart that's happy tonight. Yeah. Ephesians says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. There's got to be somebody here with a happy heart. I say praise God for it. Yes, sir. We're going to have an invitation here in a moment. Maybe let that little heart, happy heart flutter a little bit on this altar and say, "God, thank you for loving somebody like me tonight." Is your heart humble tonight? We're seeking revival. We want the real thing. Pastor Dunn said, somebody needs to confess something tonight, amen. I don't know what it is or who it is, but you just go ahead and do it. We'll have ourselves a meeting. But does somebody in here have a humble heart? I'm reminded of Peter. We talked about him last night. He said, "I go a-fishing." Can I put it to you like this? He walked away from the Lord, Brother Philip. Ain't it like God to come where you are? But I don't find it a coincidence that it wasn't John or James, the son of Boanerges. It wasn't them. It wasn't Matthew. It wasn't Timothy. But it was Peter in Acts chapter number 2 that stood up and preached boldly. And this is what the Bible says when he got done preaching. It says, and they, that's the Pharisees and the Jews, were pricked in their hearts. They got humbled that day because they realized they did kill the Savior. The man that they hung on that cross was the Messiah tonight. Do you have a humble heart tonight? Because listen to me very carefully. I say this in love. How have you gone this far in this meeting? Many, many faces I've seen every single night. How have you gone this far in this meeting and your heart is not right with God? I ask that because I've been there. We covered this last night. I've been there. I missed the main part of the whole reason I told that story at the end. When I got saved on about the 18th verse of Just As I Am. I mean that. That service had come and gone and ended, and they were walking out. People were getting in their car and going home when that preacher said those words. I believe somebody is looking for a second chance. But I've sat in many a church service. Sunday school teacher, bus captain. Listen, I'm going to blow your minds. Many times at a homeless shelter, 503 Leon Sullivan Way, I'd kneel down with a Bible and show somebody how to be saved when I was lost. I'm talking about the gospel. My heart was not right with God. And if I would have died anywhere before February 18, 2017, I'd have split hell wide open tonight. How's your heart? I believe God's trying to do something this week. Are you going to let Him? Are you really going to let Him? Or are we going to keep playing games with our heart tonight? Maybe, lastly, I'm done, is your heart hungry tonight? Jeremiah, the same preacher we're reading after, he said these words. He said, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." As we stand to our feet tonight, let me ask you, what are you looking for? Why are you here tonight? Don't tell me you just come to be entertained. I come looking for a meeting. I come looking for revival. One of the scariest verses in all the Bible, Jeremiah said these words. He said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." And he asked this question. He says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" As they're getting a song ready, if you have a heart problem tonight, and there is a great physician, what's stopping you from going to the doctor right now? What's stopping you? I'm not interested in extending this meeting just for fun. I want it to be real. I want it to be real. But I want to make sure tonight that every single person under the sound of my voice, his heart is right with God. If you're in here tonight and you're lost and you do not know Jesus, He died for you. He loved you. Shed out every drop of blood for you. Conquer death, hell, and the grave for you. And all you got to do is believe on the name of the Lord. You can be saved tonight. Maybe you're not where you used to be. What's stopping you from getting right back where you were? They're going to sing. I encourage every single person to step out of their seat. I'm talking about your heart, not the person beside you. Your heart tonight. How healthy is it?